Nisshinga Chaturthi. Did you also feel? I felt also a purifying effect in the festival. Purifying in the sense that, things become clearer. Thank you also for your very nice bhajan. You have very good expression in the bhajan. Thank you. Krishna. So, let me just see, am I loud enough, or would you, is it loud enough? Or, yes, maybe Shubal Ramananda. Somehow I don't get the Shubal out of the mind, because Shubal is a dear friend of Lord Krishna. So you have something like a very friendly and playful attitude. Yes, sometimes you are in the technical room, sometimes on the altar, and then you are projecting from the universe of pictures, the right pictures. It just has a little playful. So let me get it right. Ramananda Sakha. So good. Good. So we will be together for 2 days, means 4 sessions, in which I will try to give you actually a taste. I can only do that in this time of 5 very powerful practices that bring your chanting to life. I have been thinking about chanting since quite some time. Actually, it started when I came to a personal, almost a crisis. I had heard that in Krishna consciousness one would obtain freedom from desires, material desires, and obtain the love of Krishna, but I had not experienced these effects. Here I was after 20 years of practicing, and I could see that inside my own self, I was not really deeply Krishna conscious. I saw that I still had the things which I had before I came to Krishna consciousness. And I wondered, is the process really working for me? With this question, I made a deep investigation into what actually is the process that helps a conditioned soul, a bound person, a limited or troubled individuum to come to the level of pure Krishna consciousness. And with this question, what really helps, what is our process, I revisited our books and the teachings of Srila Prabhupada. I read from morning till evening in the books, and I listened to many lectures, and I remembered my own encounters with Srila Prabhupada. And after about, it was a long project, about a year or so, I can say, something emerged from my research. And that is that it is not possible for the individual to purify himself entirely and completely on his own. But Krishna can do it. And Krishna is most accessible, if you so want. This is a word which is used in your language, accessible. You can find access to him. This is an exit, but on the other side of the door, you will find you should find an access door. The sign, it's an access door. It helps us to come and see Krishna. So the holy name is something like the most accessible form of the Lord. When you chant it, you enter actually a space where you meet Krishna. But if you don't chant it properly, you exit Krishna consciousness and you are not any longer in Krishna consciousness. The holy name, in other words, is God's representation for a conditioned soul, the most easy, the most contactable, the most relatable, the most present form of the Lord is the holy name. And if you, the way you deal with the holy name describes your realizations of Krishna. If you have a good relationship with the holy name, you will be very deeply realized with but if you have a relationship where there is a lot to improve to the holy name, then you will have troubles in your relationship with Krishna. It will not be so real. It will not be so present. So this is what I discovered, and I thought, well, first, with this discovery, let me now experiment on my own. So I started to go to Vrindavan in the month of Kartik and spent the whole day from morning till evening only chanting, nothing else. Well, there was little time for reading the Bhagavatam and other related books, but mostly it was chanting. I thought, if this is the most accessible form of Krishna, then now let me approach him as much as I can. Let me spend as much time with him as possible for me. This went on for 2 decades, yes, to 20 years. And then I decided to write about this and put my own experiences down in a book. But I didn't want to write a Sachinandan Swami book because all of us are individuals, as you have in your ISV slogan. We are all individuals, and what may work for me may not work for another individual. No, I wanted to really find the principles, and for that I studied the works of Prabhupada, and I did find 5 powerful practices, these 5 powerful practices. Prabhupada writes, the 5 life airs comprise the vital force of a living entity, without which one cannot live for a moment. You know, these 5 life airs. So in the same way, these 5 practices which we will learn, some of them you will be quite familiar with, but I think when you see them in this packet, so to say, in this complete delivery, in this method, in this chanting school, then it will help you to make deep realizations. May I ask, does anyone of you know where there is an English nectar of devotion? There is, yes, please. I think one has gone already, so 2 is of course better than 1, but in this case 1 is sufficient. So there I stumbled about a verse, not a verse, uh, um, uh, a text from Prabhupada, which I want to read to you at the outset. Prabhuji, could you open the book on page 107, please? But let us first chant Jaya Radha Madhava. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Madhava Kunya Vihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Nandana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Nandana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Jaya Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan, Sri Radhe. Jaya Prabhupada Jaya, Prabhupada Jaya, Prabhupada Chila, Prabhupada. Gaur Prem Nandi Hari 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 Bo. Hare Krishna. We have to be a little brief because time is there. And while on retreat, I stumbled across this very, very important quotation, which is there, Ramananda Saka. It will be much later where I I'm reading from. I don't know if you can find it, but I saw you doing this. It's on the, let us say, at the end of page 107. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has recommended, yes. He has something like a cowherd boy. Yes. So, Prabhuji, it's a serious subject. Please let us zone in. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has recommended that everyone chant the Hare Krishna mantra just to cleanse the dust from the heart. If the dust of the heart is cleansed away, then one can actually understand the importance of the holy name. Now, I come to the sentence which struck me. For persons who are not inclined to clean the dust from their hearts and who want to keep things as they are, it is not possible to derive the transcendental result of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Let us pause for a moment and go to this sentence again. For persons who are not inclined to clean the dust from their hearts and who want to keep things as they are, it is not possible to derive the transcendental result of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. My dear devotees, dear friends who are participating in our living name, I would like to call it seminar here. We have to be really clear at the outset of our journey together that this is something serious. It is something where we change ourselves. I have watched over the years that devotees often find themselves in the trap of mechanical practice. We chant with little or no experience at all of the aliveness of Krishna consciousness, of the presence, the living, the presence of Krishna in the form of the holy name. And we settle in our chanting with mechanical practice, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, a distracted mind. When we do kirtan, our kirtans are only good when they are fast, like lightning, and our adrenaline is on level 108, and so on. Because we don't access the presence of Krishna in the holy name, we need to find substitutes for him in our practice. And we settle for an almost not spiritual practice of chanting Hare Krishna. Yes, Srila Prabhupada said there is something like material devotional service, where you do it with the wrong motives and where you are not really Krishna conscious while you do it. It's like a material activity, he says in the third canto. When we hear that chanting bestows the highest forms of love of God, we become inspired. But when we realize how very far away we are still from love of God, we lose our hope and we wonder, is this working or is this just another hype? Do you have this word in America? Also, there's something is promised with big, big sounding words, with very rajasic talk. Yes, yes, yes. But it's an empty promise that we call a hype. In London, we call it a hype, at least. And often, we lose our enthusiasm. We just do it because, you know, that's what we do in the Hare Krishna movement. You have to always, whatever you do, you have to take the rose with the thorns. So, yes, I like Krishna consciousness, and the chanting is, I have to accept it somehow. I mean, otherwise I'm not getting a spiritual name, and so on. No? And in this way, our life, our practice becomes compromised. And what is the result? What is the result for someone who does not feel the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness, the bliss, the aliveness? Well, he will be almost forced to take shelter in material things again. In London, there's Netflix. And I don't know, it's international, isn't it? Yeah, international. We become attracted to only our Krishna consciousness. We live from one meal to the next, because for us, Krishna consciousness is spicy prasadam, and so on. We exchange the real things, the spiritual presence of Lord Krishna, with substitutes, and we live therefore a quite, let us say, the only thing that increases is the size of our bellies. Hare Krishna. The men are looking at their tummies and investigating the truth of this statement. But my dear devotees, rest assured, it is possible to escape the hamster wheel of mechanic chanting. And it is possible to become a blissful devotee who is empowered by the living presence of the holy name. And for that, we just have to bring our practice alive. I would like to now ask our Ramananda Sakha to project the verse of Rupa Goswami, which I would like to chant with you, Tunditandavini Ratim, from Antyalila, where Rupa Goswami describes his experience in chanting the holy name. Let us chant together. I will chant it first, and then I request you to join me. Tunditandavaniratim vitanute tundavali laptaye tunditandavaniratim vitanute tundavali laptaye kana kroda kadambini gatayate kanarbude pyaspriham kanakroda kadamini katayate kanarbude pyaspriham cheta prangana sangini vijayatyaden savendriyanam kritim Cheta prangana sangini vijayate savendriyanam kritim no jane janita kriyat viamritai krishne tivanadvai no jane janita kriyat viamritai krishne I do not know, says Rupa Goswami, I do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced. Krishna. so much nectar. It is unfathomable for me. I can't grasp this. When the holy name, then he says what happens to him. When the holy name of Krishna is chanted, it appears to dance within the mouth. We then desire many, many mouths. And when that name enters from the mouth, the holes of the ears, yes, we desire many millions of ears. Then through the oral channel, the holy name moves on. And when the holy name dances, finally, in the courtyard of the heart, it conquers the activities of my mind. And therefore, all the senses become inert. My dear devotees, I will request you now to turn around, men, please, to the men, and find a partner, and ladies, please find a lady partner, because you will have to do some partner work here. Please, let's do it quickly. Who has not yet found a partner? I think our Prabhu has not yet found. Please. It's very important for you. Children, you have found partners? What? So, who is partner A? Good. And who is partner B? Okay, B goes first. Yes. The question which you have to tell to your partner, as honest as you can, even though you are a member of California, where we don't talk about what is deep within our hearts. No? It is, hello, how you doing? But the discussions do not go often to a deeper level. So, as detailed as you can within 5 minutes, 5 minutes for both partners, so one gets 2.5 or something like this. What is your present experience in chanting your japa? Is it like this, when the holy name enters the ears and comes and it dances in the courtyard of the heart, and you desire so many mouths and so many ears, and you become totally overwhelmed with ecstasy? Or what is it? Obviously, it can't be that level unless I think Krishna Murari is there. But you know, where are you at the present moment, and what do you hope in this seminar to learn? Please start now.
Thank you. photo and then put that on the screen. Just of this part. Not this, yes.
Just this part?
Yeah. Only this part, yes. A dynamic model of transformation. Such a pleasure to do service with you. You have two more minutes. Hare Krishna. In the last 15 minutes which we have together, I want to introduce to you a dynamic model of transformation. That is something that you can do to come to the next level in your chanting. I think I saw you freely changing with a lot of life and enthusiasm, and were seeing that there is still room for improvement. So the first thing,
if you want to move to the next level, is you must form a willingness to change. Here we recognize our potential and believe that indeed it's possible to grow further. I really believe you should work on this first part, forming a willingness to change during the 2 days which we have together. We can, during this time, listen. We will do, especially, you know, at 11 o'clock, our workshop starts. I hear it's a 3-hour-long workshop that is longer than anywhere else in the world. So we will do a little marathon. It will be, there will be many things happening. It will be as easy as, no problem, in other words. So during this time, you should look out for the potential which you have. You can see, I have some possibility here. Then, after the retreat, comes that I expect each one of you to take a little something with you and take action. Without action and immediate implementation of what you have learned, there is only an inspirational value in the retreat, but not a real changer. It's not a real, it doesn't become a real habit builder, a new habit builder. So this action phase, I consider, is most essential in your life. Now, no matter how inspired you will be during this seminar, and I hope that you will be very inspired, no matter how much the inspiration level goes up, if you do not take small actions, then it will go down and wane out for some time. The less you take action, in other words, the less chance for growth and transformation is there. And what happens then is you will lose confidence that in fact you can become an ecstatic human being in this lifetime and go back home, back to Godhead. Here I need to say to you, my dear devotees, it's more valuable that you take small steps, we can call them even baby steps, and not commit yourself to a huge step, because it's only when these actions are done regularly, and I really mean on a daily basis with this, that the success will come. So small actions each day will bring about success in the long run. This again, these small actions will help you to cross a certain border. That is the border which separates how you are now, that's the above model, you know, the above two things in the model. It will lead you deeper into the area of transformation, where you actually experience positive outcomes and an amazing growth. You will see it. Your neighbors will see it. Your parents will see it. Even the dog on the street will see it. Yes, you're always very joyful and laugh very happily, nice, but this is very serious. And this transformation, again, will bring you to the next place, that is belief in yourself, self-belief, that yes, I can change. I think the problem of mechanic chanting over a long period of time is that you settle in, most probably this will be like this the rest of my life. You lose belief in yourself. And that is very sad. I can see it in many older devotees. They think, well, this is how far it gets in this life. No? So our belief, self-belief, let me see, what did I write here? Our belief that we can change and grow becomes strengthened. It's a strength which comes from within, my dear devotees. A strength that empowers you, that makes you confident and inspired. You have, in other words, new fuel in you that will move you on to the next destination. I have seen many of you have photographed this dynamic model of transformation. We will leave it on the board after the session. We will stop in about 10 minutes, not more than. And then if you want, you can make a photograph from close up so that you have it really in a readable way on your mobile telephone. So this is, I think, pretty obvious and pretty clear. I just want to end the session with a little request to you as the participants of this seminar. I have given my preaching team a little title. We are the Sharanagati preaching team. And I did this very deliberately after analyzing the word Sharanagati. Sharanagati is often poorly translated as surrender, but that's a very poor translation that doesn't capture the meaning of what Sharanagati is. Sharana, the Sanskrit word, means shelter, and gati means to go or to move towards. Do we have this in American English? Towards, in the direction of. Sharanagati I'm just making a discovery. We don't end at 9 o'clock, but at 10 o'clock. Are you serious? I'm the most lucky man today in the morning. Then we have, then I don't need to put my foot on the gas pedal all the time. And I don't have to drive like Amit, who No, but you are so joyful. It is a great experience. No, but that is a compliment, because we are always late in the by nature. We have so many things to do, and then we always come in the really we come 1 minute before 8 o'clock. We come in the car, and then Amit drives in 1 minute to the temple. So that's a compliment. I'm exaggerating a little. So, Sharanagati means to move towards our shelter. It is an incremental approach, more and more and more, in steps. When we hear surrender, however, the English word, we think it's a leap which we have to do, something which which is quite scary for a normal human being. No, Sharanagati means to move towards your ultimate shelter. And this is done in 6 practices, which are practiced in as much to the degree which a person is capable of practicing. The first, in the practice of Sharanagati, you start at the last. There's a verse which details the six practices, but when you practice it, you are actually starting with number six in the verse. That's the secret of Sharanagati. First of all, you are developing a vision of reality. That's called humility. A vision of reality will show you are a soul who is limited in so many ways and who is under the control of so many unfavorable agents like anxiety, like frustration, like illusion, lust, greed, anger, the classical six enemies, which we, I think, touched on yesterday. You become a humble soul, and you see, I need to appeal for help. I need to desperately appeal for divine help in my project to become Krishna conscious. The second step you do is you dedicate yourself to something. In relationship to chanting, these two practices mean I'm not yet where I could be or should be. Let me dedicate myself to a practice in chanting that will be good for me. No? The next is you should have confidence or faith in Krishna's protection. He will be with me on my journey as I try to move towards him as my shelter. Faith in Krishna's protection. And then the fourth item, you accept Krishna as your only maintainer. Prabhupada used to say this express this in relationship to chanting. He said the chanting should be done like the crying of a child for its mother. I think we have a few mothers here who can tell us that there are different forms of intensity when a child cries. When the child is fine and pray and plays and he just wants to share maybe that this toy cart somehow drove into the wall, and he will cry, "Mother!" And the mother knows, okay, I can keep on cooking, it's not so important. But there are other degrees of crying. When that child may experience some distress because it has fallen and it sits on its little behind on the floor and cries, "Mother!" The mother knows, yes, this is not a problem. When my grandparents fall like this, then it's a problem. But the child is well polstered. It's a good polstering. Is it called polstering? But then there's a time when the child may play outside and a dog passes and sees the child and growls and approaches the child, and the child cries in utmost distress, "Mother!" Then the mother knows. She comes running out of the kitchen, the chapati roll still in the hand, and swings it at the dog, and knows now it is necessary to take action to protect my little one. No, the intensity shows the mother where the child is. So when you approach Krishna, you should also see him like the child sees the mother. For the child, the mother is everything, his protector, but also his maintainer. The mother nourishes the child in the early hours, and the dawn of the child's life. She nourishes the child with her own milk, and then as the child grows, the mother takes care that all the minerals are there, that the, if there is some unusual development, the mother immediately will rush the child to the doctor, the expert doctor who sees to the needs of the child. In this way, the mother is the maintainer. She dresses the child in clothes which are warm enough according to the season, and makes all possible arrangements for the well-being of the child. So this happens in Krishna consciousness also. As you practice Sharanagati, you will see Krishna like your mother, your father, your maintainer, your ultimate protector, your all and everything. And that will give you a feeling of being well cared for and no problem. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, a devotee who wants to progress in chanting should practice with Sharanagati, his chanting. That means a humble recognition, like which is giving birth to forming a willingness to change, I must change, and then the mother, then action is taken. Where one dedicates himself to chanting in a renewed way and moves forward with faith in Krishna as one's protector and maintainer. Then comes the last two things there of Sharanagati, the last two steps. You will see what is favorable for my chanting, what circumstances I have to create for my chanting. Maybe I have to chant, I have to see that I'm more early, that I become an early riser, so that I have a few, maybe 15 minutes more or 20 minutes more for my chanting practices in the morning. Or you see, my temple room is at the moment in a very, very trafficked zone in my house, the traffic of visitors, everything comes by. Some want it like this, and I think it's sometimes very good that everyone sees it and relates to Krishna on the altar. But for chanting, you may need a more secluded arrangement. That it could mean that, I'm giving some suggestions, what it could mean to create circumstances, favorable circumstances. I want to delve a little bit more on creating favorable circumstances. See, when you have a seed, you need to bring good and nourishing earth so that the seed will be able to draw from the earth those nutrients which are required for its growth. In much the same way, you need to also create good circumstances when you have a seed of inspiration in you. You need to create circumstances which nourish and encourage your spur to growth in chanting. If you do not create these circumstances which nourish your new resolve, your new resolve will fizzle out, almost like the forward motion of a car will stop once the fuel is used up. No fuel is necessary for the car's onward progress. So in the same way, when you want to become a determined chanter, you will have to see how to create more favorable action circumstances around yourself.
And finally, you need to also look at those things which you need to renounce in your chanting practice. There may be things like you may see too much Netflix. You may have unfavorable relationships where you are with people who are not able to encourage you in your spiritual way. You know, sometimes a word on relationships, it's like some relationships, I call them lift relationship. When you enter the lift, I think that's an European word, here we would call it an elevator, yes. You are with the people who are with you from the, with some of them you are only up to the 10th floor. Say you want to go to the 30th floor. I'm speaking of New York. I don't think in Silicon Valley we have such high buildings because of the earthquake danger, isn't it? But let us look at a good size lift or elevator in a good size building. Some people are with you only for a short time, and then they exit the elevator to go to the level where they are. The same is in Krishna consciousness. Some of you, some of your friends are only prepared to go to a certain level with you. Then they exit there. They have reached the level which they are aspiring for. But if you want for something greater, for something higher than the present levels which are there around you, you may have to go on where at the point where others stop and exit. So that is something which is there in spiritual traditions. You are committing yourself to a level that is higher than the ordinary level, even amongst devotees. Yes, some devotees, Prabhupada said, are not prepared to change their present level. And that is the choice, and we should not judge them for that at all. Instead, we should celebrate that they have in this life decided to move up, and that is a cause for celebration. So these are the five practices which will help you to increase your chanting. Should I repeat them? First of all, humility. That is a vision of reality. Look at your life, like in that partner exercise which you were doing, where you were, I could see some of you were really sharing in a non-Californian way the reality. Yes. Then you need to dedicate yourself, that's the second step, to a practice. You will learn many practices, and then you need to have faith that Krishna is with you on this journey, having faith in Krishna's protection. That's the third one. The fourth is accepting Krishna as your only maintainer. Prabhupada gave us the example of the relationship between the child and the mother, where the maintainer, mother is the maintainer. And fifth means taking up those activities that are favorable, which nourish your chanting. And last and not least, renunciation of conduct that is averse to your chanting. Vrindavan, can we help you in any way? Or you can do it, Vrindavan. You did already exemplary well. Vrindavan will be initiated. Ooh. Very soon. What will be his name? Vrindavan Chandra, maybe. Oh, we should not. We should not speculate on sacred things. My dear devotees, these six practices of Sharanagati will help you tremendously. Adyanta dulaba prema karibare dana shikaya sharanagati bakatera prana. In order to freely distribute the gift of ecstatic love of God, which is very difficult to obtain, he, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, taught the path of Sharanagati, devotional surrender to the Supreme Lord. This Sharanagati is the very life of the true devotees. Prana means the life force. And it is five practices, five pranas, which you will learn, where you can apply this method of surrender to your best ability, this method of approaching Krishna for shelter. I like the English word devotional surrender. Devotional surrender, approaching Krishna for shelter. Good. My dear devotees, now I think we should make a little pause and ask for questions, and then I will briefly introduce you to the first of the five life airs of chanting. Let us give a microphone. The microphone is here. Who has a question? Here I see a question, and here I see a question. Two questions are already there.
Maharaj, thank you so much for conducting the seminar. You mentioned about relationships, and the first one you mentioned was the lift relationship or the elevator relationship.
Yes.
Could you also shed light on the other relationships, or were you even planning to bring that up?
Yes. No. Yes, there are some relationships which will fall away as we move forward, but there are also those relationships which will become deeper, actually. And you will see the relationships that will fall away are those of not like-minded devotees, but those relationships which will become deeper and deeper and deeper are the relationships with which like-minded devotees who have the same goal as you. Find these like-minded devotees. Rupa Goswami says our association should in fact be with like-minded devotees, because they can go deeper and deeper and deeper, and they are not these elevator relationships, so to say. They have the same goal, like-minded. Thank you for your question.
Thank you, Maharaj.
There was in this area of the room another question. We will give you the microphone, Prabhu. Others can also think of their relevant questions.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Maharaj, in this dynamic model of transformation, in the second step, where we take small actions every day to improve ourselves. So sometimes it may happen that even those actions may become mechanical. Let's say, for example, before our chanting, we make a resolve to offer some prayer. But that too, with time, the mind may go into a mechanical mode. So how do we keep that as well dynamic?
That's a very good question. What our Prabhu has just mentioned is a conditioning of the mind. Whenever the mind does something or the same thing all over again, it switches off, and thus it becomes mechanical, external activities. The mind is not with it. If you asked Amit, our driver,
how he drove from his home to the temple, what he experienced on his road, he will not remember, because he has gone this road maybe, is that count, 20,000 times maybe? Many times, and he doesn't need to concentrate any longer. He knows, now switch over to the other free lane. And he thinks, while he does it, he may think of an unrelated subject, like developing a new business strategy, etc. Then he will go to, you know, then he will stop at a traffic light. He doesn't notice I'm traveling. He doesn't notice that there is a dental clinic on the right side, which I saw. because he is on an automatic pilot, and that's good for normal activities. But yes, the same thing unfortunately happens when we chant. See, the mind cannot distinguish between a good habit and a bad habit. For the mind, habit is habit. Whatever is a habit, the mind does it. It doesn't have an editor there. Oh, wait a minute, this is a bad habit. Or this is a good habit. It's habit is habit. This is an amazing, you call it sanskara in Sanskrit. It's a deeply embedded thing which has been which has gotten there by doing it again and again. So when we chant, what is good in car driving becomes bad in chanting. You know, that we turn on the automatic pilot system in us, which has been formed by doing it again and again. I want to address what to do against this, how to break old habit, exactly by these five life-giving practices. So there is an initial practice which you do, which breaks that. That is that when you chant, you align yourself, you sit properly, you open your shoulders, then you pronounce the mantra consciously, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama. And then you listen. So by doing these three things consciously, aligning yourself, that sends a total different system, a total different signal to your body. When you sit up, see, I just said it, I didn't mean it, but immediately something changes and we become alert, no? Sit up. You know, we go like this. It's almost we shake the dross away. Then sit up. Then, as in London English, you say "listen up." No, you now have to, or pronounce up. You know, you say in London with up everything at the and pronounce up and listen up. You know, it means you elevate everything a little bit. And that's already something where you do a conscious thing to interrupt your thing. We will learn about it in 7 minutes. We will start with this. But I want to answer this. Then there are other things. This is all the first level of improving our chanting. The first prana, the first life force. you do things more or less mechanically to break the mechanical habit, you know. You take the, you have a practice that breaks the habit of mechanical chanting, which you do with your body, your mind, and your heart. It will come in a moment. But really, this good question, how to stop even mechanical practices that are meant to help the chanting. Really, you need to act out of love. That is the highest level. You need to purify your heart so much that you do out of love. You know, when the mother has love for the child, the practices which she has done 100,000 times are still alive. I want to give an example. Have you heard of course we have heard of Mother Teresa. What is the name of her order? The Sisters of Charity? Sisters of Charity? The Missionaries of Charity. You are modern silicon people. You can just check it, please, on your mobile phone. Subhai Shaka is our man. What is the order of Mother Teresa called? No, mobile telephone. Yes. Or Rasheshwari is already added. So you may. So this is an order. Missionaries of Charity. Yeah, they are mostly ladies, I understand, in white sari with blue borders. So once an English upper-class aristocratic lady decided, let me accompany one of these missionaries of charity on her daily round. You know, they go through Calcutta, they clean the wounds of the lepra people, they are there in the slums when a person dies, and they give help, water, and they pray for them, hold the hand, give comfort, etc. They feed the hungry. They do these selfless acts of human welfare. They feel that this is what Jesus would do to the poor, so they help Jesus, so to say. It's very difficult. So at the end of one of these rounds, you know, rounds, not japa, but walking to the different needy people, this British aristocratic lady said, do you do this every day? Yes, said the sister. Yes. Every day. I couldn't do it, said the aristocratic lady, even if you would offer me each day $20 million. You know what the sister answered? I also couldn't do it for $20 million. She did it out of a religious feeling of love or appreciation that, yes, by helping these who are parts of God, and she could do it. I think, if we think carefully, no one of us could pay the services of a mother. What the mother does, and it's all day around, you know. She gets up at 2 o'clock in the morning. When need is, I know my mother, when I had these fevers, I often had fevers as a little boy because I was always out and I was not patient enough to dress warmly. So I caught colds and fevers, and she would for many nights be on my bed and put wet towels around my what is it, the calves, not feet, the calves, yeah. Selfless. She would cook, she would be there at every hour of the day doing things. How can you pay a servant this? It's not possible. Maybe in India. Maybe, because there, I have seen in India people who really feel like servants. You know, they have love for those whom they serve. I've seen there's still more distinction. Anyways, out of love, you can do things and escape the mechanic chanting. But that's a high goal. Therefore, let's start with alignment, aligning body, mind, and heart so that we break mechanical chanting. No, that here we will start. Yes, Prabhu. There is another question. I'm just want to be balanced. Ladies, not yet. Here's a lady question. Let us have a balanced, so to say. Give the microphone to the lady.
I'm thinking about these four steps that are on the screen, and one thing that comes to mind is if we are to take action, we need to have a certain sense of initiative to take action. I'm wondering if you can speak to the people who don't have initiative, that are in sort of the muck of life, and how to get to the point of forming the willingness to change that inertia to go.
Yes. It's a little bit the first step, forming a willingness to change. So you are asking, how can we motivate someone to form, to take up an initiative, to an impulse, to get an impulse to change? There are two reasons why someone steps forward on the path of Sharanagati, path of approaching the Lord for shelter. One is that he sees there is no other chance for me. If I don't really get it going now, everything is lost. This is for many devotees I have seen. They come to this level. Oops, I'm in troubled water. If I don't now do something, my life is compromised. You know, that's the first recognition. The second motivation, which I find more gentle than the club method that you get a club on your head, is a voluntary, let us say, step by seeing the tremendous potential, seeing the tremendous opportunity which is there. And this is what I like to do in my Living Name retreats. I want to convince my participants, you have such an opportunity, don't let it pass. I'm thinking you think also of new people, maybe next to you, who you know, and you want to motivate them. You need to create faith in them by talking about Krishna consciousness and talking about it purely, reading maybe from the books or learning how to share Krishna consciousness in such a way that the person sees, oh, here's an opportunity which I'm missing if I don't take it. So these two things change. But I want to tell you very honestly, most people in Kali Yuga turn to Krishna because of misery and they want to solve it. There is a scripture, a Sanhita, which says, upon seeing the miseries of old age and disease and death, I am now surrendering unto you. Now this is very much there. The scriptures therefore always point out these things, so that we see, oops, I have to do something here. Unfortunately, that is so. And I know this is sometimes discouraging to see it. Can I only make my next step when it gets so intolerable in my life that I have, if you don't want to be misery impelled in your life, read Prabhupada's books daily. That is, then you are impelled or motivated by opportunities which you see before you. Krishna. So, there was one last question. I don't want to stay. Vrindavan also has one. Vrindavan, I will clarify your question personally. We will talk personally. Yes.
Yes. Krishna Maharaj, thank you for explaining the secrets to good chanting. One of the new emphasis of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, six processes of surrender.
Yeah.
So my question is, Maharaj, how should we know that our chanting is good? Are there any milestones that we would also look for to understand our chanting is progressive?
How do we know, by what criteria we can assess that our chanting is good? Certainly there are criteria. There are many, so I'm going through my files. In this verse which we discussed now, you see that the chanter expresses a deep sense of taste for the chanting. He doesn't have to force himself. He likes chanting so much that he says one tongue is not enough, one set of ears is not enough. I must have millions of tongues to chant and listen. There's deep taste. Insatiable taste. And bhakti really means, if you want to express bhakti in one word, it would be most properly thirst. See, I have here delicious Fiji water. It has been filtered through the volcanic stratum of Fiji, and it is the best water on earth, at least if you believe their advertising. It is such delicious Fiji water in here. But if I have no thirst, I will not touch the Fiji water. Only with thirst will I touch the holy name. Taste also. I saw your hand, Prabhu. Could we do this a little later? Because I want to use the remaining 23 minutes to talk a little bit on yojana, the first of these five practices. I want to first of all see, how is your attention span? Are you with me?
Yes.
Wow, this was convincing. I need to now yeah. It is now very important that you listen very carefully. Do we have enough oxygen in this room? Is it... maybe we have to open the doors. I see someone is there. And make like a nice circulation of fresh air. I see you are a little oxygen deprived. You're trying... like a computer without electricity. We have adjusted everything. Maybe during the pause we can really take care that the doors are opened. Let me see who will take care of this. Can I? You will be our airman. Good. Thank you. Thank you. This is maybe the most responsible service during the retreat, because without oxygen, our brain goes on. Please excuse me. I'm from a different culture. We are from a barbaric origin. What to do? My dear devotees, you all have three powerful human endowments. Do you understand this English word, this endowment? We have it in its gifts given by God. No? You have a body, a physical body. You have a mind. And you have also... let's call it a heart. It means a seat of emotions. I'm speaking now at the heart, not as a pump, not in a romantic way, but in a, as a seat of human emotions. These three are divine endowments to every human being. If you wish to enter the stage of absorbed chanting, where you are absolutely connected with Krishna in the form of His holy name, it will happen only if you use these three human endowments in what is called alignment. You need to align these things. I know the word alignment is maybe used in our culture in California in one way, and to make absolutely sure how I will use this word, I will give you the definition. Alignment comes from the French word aligner. It means to bring into a line for a practical purpose. Let me give you an example of alignment which we are all very familiar, that is locomotion. The purpose to move forward from the function of moving from one place to another place. For this we have designed a car. There are wheels in the car. There is a motor in the car, and there is fuel, a tank. Do we call it a tank? Yes. A tank in the car. Now these three need to be brought together for a practical purpose, the purpose of locomotion. You need to put the wheels. They cannot lie in your courtyard. You have to put them to this car. The motor needs to be somehow connected to the wheels. If you just have a motor there, it can be a beautiful Dodge motor, but if it's not connected with the and aligned, it has only decorative function. And finally, the tank where you put the fuel in needs to be aligned with the whole thing. Then only can locomotion take place. Am I clear? Yes. Imagine you want to start, and boom, boom, you start, it doesn't start, and your child, your son, oh, daddy, we took out the tank and we put it in the garage. I need the tank to be in full alignment, you would say, with my purpose to drive to this place. No, it needs to be there. So in the same way, this was an example, you need to align your human endowments. You need to align your physical body, your mind, and your heart to the in the practice of chanting. Okay, what do we do with the body? The first, and you hear it in the japa tapes, and I heard it from Prabhupada personally, is sit properly. The moment you see it, everyone goes, now how do I sit properly? That's the question. The spine should be erect. The shoulders should open. How do I open my shoulders? Well, just bring them to your ears like I do. I won't look at anyone, so. And then roll them back. Can you see how your shoulders are opening and how you create good space for respiration? No? Yes?
Yes.
Good. Posture. Very important. Let us maintain the posture like this. I will, from time to time, remind you, don't worry. Once a very depressed man came to a saint and began to tell him the list of his woes. Oh, my health is failing me. Oh, my friend has cheated me. The children don't listen to me like this. And the saint said, shh. And he did maintain your posture. Don't imitate me. He began to sit like this, in the same way in which the distressed man sat. And he said, shh. And he said, it begins to work. I also feel miserable. Yes. Yes, my dear devotees. I have to give this seminar. I'm already so tired. And then the pause, the imitation of a pause. It's only 1 hour long, and I have to sign maybe my new book. I'm so hungry and all. I have no time to eat, no time to digest, no time to rest. I'm already too old for this. I'm way above 60. I'm approaching 70. And still, these slave drivers. No. Sit properly, Sachinathan Swami. Oh, it's a different story. I have opportunities to give a seminar in the Silicon Valley. I almost made it to Stanford University, where Stephen Jobs was speaking, but only Monday is free and no one is there on Monday. No, but I almost made it. And I'm seeing Krishna Murari from New Zealand, who is on the way of transformation. And the deities are more beautiful than the mind can even fathom. Yes, and yesterday on the Shinga Chaturthi, I got a special gift from the Lord. You've seen other thoughts come. It's like an antenna, your body. If it's
if it sticks its head in the earth, you get very earthy signals. If you sit properly, it is a different story. There's research done on power poses. Yeah? That they'd say that in the morning, jump out of bed and go like this for 5 minutes, and you will be the stunning winner in your business, and so on. I can think of no better example of a good posture than Muhammad Ali. He would go into the ring like this. I'm the greatest. Later he said, when he got his crippling disease, what was it, Parkinson? Yeah, shaking like that. He said, most probably I said too many times, I'm the greatest, God is the greatest. And therefore I'm now like this. He was a deeply religious man. Power poses. So in chanting, we don't go like, I'm the greatest, Japa man. Here comes Japa man. Or Japa woman, you know. No, we don't do this. We just sit properly, you know. That is sufficient for our purpose. Hare Krishna. Be aware, pride is always not good. It's always, when you're proud, you will have to pay with, after some time, it's always like this. So the proper physical posture is required. We will train all this in the workshop. And then let me just go to my notes so that I don't forget here. Then the pronunciation, and then the listening. I would like to do this now with you in a little exercise. Okay, once again, sit properly. At this moment, by the way, I see you are avid note takers. This is really nice and it helps, but what you hear is all much nicer explained in this book, The Living Name, which will be available. We shipped, it was printed in the last minute in Canada, and we have copies here, sufficient copies here, so you will in the process be able to get this. It's a beautiful book with the most, see, there are illustrations which make you faint. They are so good. It's just a very, very light and classic style, combining traditional Indian motifs with a very light brush, so on. Sit properly, and we will now chant. By learning to clearly utter the holy name, the pronunciation must be good. In pronunciation, you have to use your upper and lower lip and the tongue. Yes. And as we do this, we should listen to our own sound. Prabhupada would say this often. Listen to yourself chant sincerely. Mm-hmm. Listen. It's something else than hearing. Listen means to hear with attention. Right? Listen to yourself chant sincerely. So we will chant now in one voice and then individual. And during this time, I will give you instructions how to align your body. Just, it will be very brief. You need to continue to chant all the time.
Okay, Vrindavan, don't interrupt when I say something. Just continue on. You might say, see, I will be your good mind. When we chant, our mind is also there and it tells us different things. So I will be your good mind for some time. No other thoughts, only the instructions count. Okay. I will first chant alone and then give you a signal when you should join me. There is a certain reason behind it which is too long to explain here. For a moment, center yourself, please. That is, bring your mind, which may be all over the place, just here. You will chant now together with all of you will chant. You will sit properly. You will pronounce the mantra properly using your lips and your tongue. And more than anything, you will listen to your own sound. I will chant one mantra alone so that you get the idea of how, you know, how high we chant, and then we will chant together. You will receive instructions during this time. Please do not interrupt your chanting. The instructions are very brief. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Chant a little more softly, please, softly. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Now continue, please. Do not fall into the trap of mechanic chanting. To avoid this trap, check your posture, check your pronunciation. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And finally, check your listening. Are you hearing yourself chant? Are you hearing? Some of you are not hearing. Listen. Listen up. Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama,
Posture. Pronunciation.
Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
And listening intently.
Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama Rama,
Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna
renunciation. Listening intently. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna. How did you find that? It immediately brings us to a deeper level. And it's very, very simple. This was the alignment of the body. Wait what happens when you align your mind, and you will be surprised what happens when you go even deeper than aligning body and mind, when you go to the, level of the heart, the human emotions. We will now have a short pause where you can take prasadam from 10 to 11. And then at 11, we will do our workshop. This was a little bit theoretical. The workshop will be very workshop-like. You will, as the name suggests, do certain practices and learn everything by experience. I thank you very much for your kind and good attendance. I want to remind our air person to please air the room out to continue, so that everything is oxygenated. I wish you a nice active pause. Maybe during the time you stop doing many other things, stay with the, as much as possible with the content of this seminar, and then we will go deeper. See you in 1 hour. Hare Krishna.